August 26, 2021, special meeting at 5:30, followed by a town board workshop at 6 o'clock p.m.
I'd like to call the special meeting of Rural Town Board to order and ask that the clerk call the roll.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here.
And ask that everyone please rise for pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. At this time, I would entertain a motion to enter an executive session for the purpose of receiving an update on the Erie Boulevard case that the town and school district are currently involved with, and to also receive an update on contract negotiations for the sale of 61 buses.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Motion. Okay. We're back in open session. This is coming out of the executive session, and I would ask that the record reflect that no action was taken in the executive session. And so before we close the special board meeting, I would like to discuss the Erie Boulevard Hydropower Real Property Tax Assessment Litigation. We're just briefed in the executive session. We have a recommendation from special counsel, as well as counsel for the town, and we have had discussions with the school district, and we appear that we want to take action on this tonight, and where we are at this point in time is that if the board so chooses, we can settle the Article 7s that have been in place for tax years 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020, as well as 2021, on the three hydro facilities that are located either wholly or partially within the town. What that would mean is that the total assessment for those three properties would be set at $134 million for assessment years 2021 through 2030. As part of those negotiations, the school district has agreed to pay $750,000 in refunds, with the town not being responsible for any refunds. Does the board have any thoughts on that?
We should move forward.
I think this is a fair settlement. I certainly would be in favor of moving forward as well.
Time to settle.
Yes, I'd like to move forward.
Okay, and you know, this is a win for the town of Monroe, because this is probably our most costly litigation that we continually are involved with, and what this will do is for the town as well as the school district, it will establish a fixed known assessment value for the hydros, which will not be challenged for the next 10 years. And the challenges that the Erie Boulevard makes against the town are very expensive. On this particular case, we have expended over $600,000. I can tell you, since my time on the board, we've spent millions of dollars in defending our assessments on these hydros, and I think this is a very good deal for the town of Monroe, as well as the school district. So, with the board willing to move forward, I entertain a motion to move the resolution on the subject of Erie Boulevard Hydropower RPTL tax assessment litigation believe all board members have copies of that for them. And would someone like to move that? And we'll have the clerk read it into the record.
So moved.
Second.
And Dan, would you read the resolution into the record?
That's the consent order and stipulation.
No, it's the resolution.
Oh, there it is. Sorry. I didn't have this before the meeting, so. Town Board, Town of Monroe Resolution, Subject, Erie Boulevard Hydropower, RPTL Tax Assessment Litigation. Whereas Erie Boulevard Hydropower commenced litigation pursuant to RPTL Article 7, challenging its assessment for tax years 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, and 2021 for the following properties located within the Town of Monroe. Tax map number 61.1-1.111 in the facilities in Spire Falls, 48.1-5 facility Sherman Island, 49.1-1 facility Feeder Dam. Whereas the town has determined it to be in the best interest to enter into a consent order and settlement stipulation. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town Board of the Town of Monroe hereby approves the settlement of the Real Property Tax Law Article 7 proceedings entitled Erie Boulevard Hydropower LP versus Town of Monroe Assessor, Town of Monroe Board of Assessment Review, and the Town of Monroe, Saratoga County, New York, as follows. Number one, all proceedings will be discontinued. Number two, the total assessment for all three properties will be set at $134 million for assessment years 2021 through 2030. Number three, refunds will be paid to petitioner from the Southlands Falls Central School District in the amount of $750,000. Number four, no refunds will be paid by the Town of Monroe. And be it further resolved that the Town Board hereby authorizes Lewis and Greer, P.C., Dylan Harris, Esquire, and Lou Lewis, Esquire, special counsel to the town to sign the appropriate consent order and settlement stipulation resolving these matters.
Thank you, ma'am. Any discussion on the resolution? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. That requires a lot of work and effort over many months. So thank you to everyone involved, our special counsel, Lewis and Greer, town council, fellow deputy, Lieutenant Thomas Stewart, as well as my colleagues on the board. I think that's, under the circumstances, a great outcome for our community. I have nothing further for the special board meeting. Anyone else? No. Not understand the motion to adjourn the meeting board meeting.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I opposed. We are adjourned. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to a workshop in Monroe Town Board in relation to the draft solar law that has been put out for public comment. Welcome everyone here this evening. Do we need a roll call for the workshop as well?
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And the purpose of this workshop this evening, we've had public comment as required by law on the proposed local zoning change. And so this evening, the workshop will involve conversations, discussions among the board members as to where we want to go from here. I can tell you that anybody who's read the testimony from the public hearings, there were over 38 individuals that spoke. We also received a plethora of correspondence from individuals that asked that the comments be included into the record. And what we have to determine this evening is whether, as a board, we want to make changes to the proposed local law. Do we want to keep it as it is? Or do we want to table it until future discussion? I can tell you that after reading all the testimony twice and reviewing the audio for from the public hearing that I have serious concerns about allowing Tier 3 solar in the Ag District. It goes counter to the Rural Environment Protection Plan that the town spent over $20,000 to put in place. And if anybody has read that on the board, you'll see that the primary findings in that is that the town of Moreau wants to have a viable, healthy future for agriculture in our community. We have to ensure that when we place zoning changes or adopt new zoning requirements, that they're conducive to the information that's outlined in our farmland protection plan. If you look carefully at that, you'll see a section also in that 60-page document that talks about future generations of farming in our community and how important it is to have farmland available so that those future generations can be viable and continue to farm if they choose to do so. I'm going to let the other board members speak momentarily, but I just had a conversation 30 minutes ago with Commissioner of Agriculture and Markets on a number of matters, but specifically to the issue that we're discussing this evening. And I can tell you that I received correspondence yesterday morning from the agency. He was not aware that it had gone out. Obviously, there's a conflict of interest because the individual who requested the determination is related to the deputy commissioner in charge of that department. So there are concerns on that information that was transmitted to the town. But more importantly, in my conversation with the commissioner, he indicated that the agency has been charged with working with NYSERDA to come up with a viable regulations to protect farmland in New York State. And it is the agency's position that they're pushing strongly to protect the top four tiers of farmland. And that's going to take some time. And within those two top tiers are farmlands of statewide importance and prime farmland, which is our two items that were included in our proposed draft local law. So my recommendation to the board is that we hold off on any additional changes to our local law until we get direction by regulation from the Department of Agriculture and Markets working in concert with NYSERDA to assist us in ensuring that we have the appropriate local law in place here in town.
Looking for any other comments?
Sure. Yeah. This is the board's.
Yeah. So I'm not opposed to that. It has become a little bit more confusing the last couple of days as we review a document from Ags and Markets and some of their opinions that they share seem to contradict exact language that they pulled from NYSERDA's model law. So that forces us to kind of go back and revisit that. That's concerning to me. I don't know where that's going to fall. But to your point, it sounds like you're working on it. That said, I still think that there's some action, or not action, but there's some good dialogue tonight that I would like to have amongst the board to better understand some of our options, and that can happen in parallel while we wait to see what position Ag and Markets is going to take. But specifically on the topic of overlay districts, would you feel comfortable explaining to the board if you're understanding what that means?
Absolutely. The board remembers during the year that we've been really working on this project that one of the suggestions and one of the topics we did discuss was an overlay district. An overlay district is the zoning district. And the way an overlay district works is twofold. The one One requires approval per project by the town board, and then it kicks over to the planning board for any site plan review or approval. Or the town board can do right now, set up a overlay district over the entire town or over certain circles, portions of the town, and say, this is where solar would be allowed. Not by a zoning district as it's currently set up, but as, you know, this area can have solar. And this area can have solar. It may not be an entire district, and it may be in other districts that it's not in right now, but it allows the town board to create this solar overlay district on top of the current zoning that's already there. If you think about like a PUD, where someone comes to you and says, you know, we want to put this kind of project in this area, and it's not compatible with your zoning, and it's not for a use variance, we want to do a PUD. Your law right now sets up a PUD, a district that you have to go through and the developers have to go through and identify and meet certain additional criteria. That's what an overlay district basically would do. So, for example, if someone came in, let's say the town board decides to say we're going to have an overlay district. Someone comes in and says, I want to have a tier 3 solar array on farmland. They have to come to the town board. The town board has to go and make sure they meet the requirements of the overlay district. The town board decides that that project meets those requirements and can be in that district at that time, not now. And then it goes to the planning board and has to meet all the other requirements. Just like a PUD, we have to go to the planning board and meet all the other requirements to create it. So you can do it that way, or you can say, I'm creating an overlay district here, 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 and here. If you're not in any of these five circles, just like any zoning district, you can't have solar. So it's basically a solar district. But it's on top of the district that's already there. That's why it's called an overlay. It's on top of the district that's already there. I don't know if that's confusing or if that helps at all. You tell me.
It helps me, but okay. I'll follow up questions. So you gave two examples, so I know you just have to use ag district as an example, but it could be any other district that I just think correctly. So if it's in R2 or R3, we could allow us to have flexibility in other districts.
That's the good part of an overlay, is it allows flexibility. So, for example, if there was property in an R3 district, under your current proposed draft, that would not be permitted. If you decide to make that portion a overlay district, that could be. It doesn't necessarily have to be permitted, and the town board always has the authority that if they do not meet the requirements you set forth when they come to you, you can deny it. It's not a use of right. Just like, for example, if you're in a residential district and you have a single-family home, it's a use of right. You have absolutely no authority to say they can't have it there. They come in here, and there's an overlay district. They have to meet the criteria you set forth to make it.
And I'm not suggesting that this is my position, but just to use another example, would an overlay district approach be a way that we could be more selective about, for Lori, what property inside the ag district could have solar if our current law says that the entire ag district or soil is important to prime farmland, if anywhere in the ag district there can't be. But this would allow hypothetically the chance to go back inside the ag district a little bit.
Any district.
And you gave two different types of district, two different flavors. One was identify overlay district up front, or maybe then the other one I heard was as someone who has a project comes to the board, decide if they want to do it. Is it an either or approach? Or?
It is. It's an either or approach. So right now the town board could look at the map, the zoning map, and say we want the entire town to have an overlay district. But we require projects to come before the town board prior to going to the planning board. So, the whole town allows solar. And I'm talking tier 3 solar, because that seems to be where the public comments and everything is concerned. The whole town is allowed to have it, provided it comes to the board and and meets all of these criteria, the board says it meets these criteria, then it goes to the second step, to the planning board, and it meets all these criteria. If you want to not have a whole town as the overlay, then you, right today, during this process, you say this area and this area and this area are already overlay districts. And they go directly to the planning board.
Which would be an expedited compared to having more lenders.
If you expedited for overlay districts, not expedited
no.
currently.
No, that's not for.
It would. It there's pros and cons for both, and that's really not my area, but there are pros and cons for both.
Yes, I thought it
was. One more question. And this is for that's also in the conflict. The document that was referenced earlier that we received indirectly, which was helpful. Did you have a chance to review that?
You know, I got up last night at about 10 o'clock or whenever it was, so I have not had an opportunity to really go through it. I have skimmed it. From what I can tell, all it does is identify ideas. There's no directive. There's nothing saying anything is unreasonably restrictive. It's a little troubling that a State Department, a state agency is coming into a local municipal agency to discuss a draft law. I was unaware that this was going on, so I did not speak to council at any markets at all about this.
I was just more curious because I know we worked closely as a board in the view on some of the language that we had in our draft, and I haven't had a chance to go back and do a compare and contrast. But some of the items that they made recommendations or passed an opinion on seem to be about exact language we copied from the solar law.
Well, and that's why, again, it's a little concerning. As you recall, I worked with NYSERDA closely in Manier on this. And actually, I sort of was in the process of reviewing their model law, and they were working with us to see what concerns municipalities had. We were working with Case Law School because they were helping create the model law. So if anything in here is different than what NYSERDA and I worked on, you know, February, March, April, May, I don't know where that came from, and I would want to explore it further.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't remember you expect us on those. Now, that letter that everybody got actually came through the, it was from a resident, but I don't see a problem with this. Several weeks ago, I was approached about maybe some concern about our tier two language being in conflict with the ag market 302A. So I got looked into it, and I researched it. I sent emails to everybody on the board. With my concern, because I'm not looking for any legal issues down the road. I'm looking for some kind of an opinion as to what we should do to clean this language up in our draft law. Because it is, there are some conflicts as far as height, location, setbacks, lot coverage, screening. There's several things where we are in conflict with ag and market. I didn't get any response. The resident, on their own, contacted Action Market with the concerns, got a response from Action Market, sent it to me last night. I did send it to everybody on the board so that we could maybe be up to date on what's going on and what Action Market's opinions were on our conflicts in our draft. So that's where that all came from. But the thing is, once again, I don't think we're going to write a law that's in conflict with agriculture and markets when it comes to these solar arrays, these on-farm solar arrays. You know, there's somewhere down the road we could have some legal issues, and I don't want to see that happen. I'd rather see us, and I suggested this in an email I sent to the rest of the board, is take out agriculture out of the, what the number is here, down. Out of the 149.98 D1, take agriculture out of there and just add somewhere in there some language, I'm sure they're going to welcome some, that the on-farm arrays would be placed in the agricultural district following the guidelines of agricultural markets, which are pretty clear. I read this stuff all weekend, and it's pretty clear that what they what their guidelines are for these type of arrays. And right now, our law, as our draft is written, is contrary. It's in conflict. So I think that's something we have to take a look at. And like I say, my suggestion is take an agricultural officer down out and say this has been allowed in the agricultural district according to the agricultural market scale plan. And the thing is, it's pretty clear from I'm reading it. They want to take down all the hurdles and all the other hoops that people expect to go through to put these arrays in. They want this streamlined so that these farmers can get these things online as soon as possible to keep their operation profitable. So that's my suggestion, is to take that language out of there and to add in there that we're going to follow the guidelines set forth by agriculture and market.
For most of what you said, JD, I think we agree, but I heard you say that you're concerned that our law doesn't align with what ag markets might have been used to publish. And so I appreciate you sharing the document. I think that's what I'm saying. My concern is that the language we put in came from the law, which was provided by NYSERDA in hours of interaction with them. So I don't want to be...
I
like you, don't want to be publishing a law that is not aligned with that market, but to see this obvious disconnect is concerning. I think the other program, number two, tier two is not my concern. I think we can clean up tier two. It's the tier three solar arrays that are really bad.
I got something up on that.
So just to work there.
I want to just, I think the whole ag and markets issue was solely on tier two, and I don't know what was actually presented to ag and markets. If you look at the length at the, what we were given, it specifically said they received a request and to review various provisions, and they reviewed the provisions identified. I don't know what provisions those were.
No.
What I'm saying is the email from the letter directed to Ag Markets specifically says that the department has reviewed the portions of the law identified in the request. I don't know, I don't have the request. When you go to Ag Markets, and I've done this before and I've done it with this individual, when you go to Ag Markets, you have to go through a process. You have to set forth a form. This form is filled out. You have to identify which local law in place is, which actual local law, not draft, is in place. And then you have to identify what the concerns are, and then Ag Markets, before they issue a determination, is supposed to provide that to the town. The town then has the opportunity to respond to that and identify why they do not believe that the local law is unreasonably restrictive. I'm not saying that I have any issues with what's in here. I'm just saying I don't know what law, what portions they looked at. That's my only concern. I just don't have the information.
But the procedure you just mentioned. They're set in place when there's a dispute of a current law, correct?
Right, because you can't go to Ag Markets and ask them for an advisory opinion without an actual dispute.
I
understand that.
It is a, you know, the thing is, too, is if we write a law that's in conflict with Ag Markets, then we can get ourselves into some legal down the road, perhaps.
And I think the concerned councilman Van Castle is saying, we don't know, I haven't had this letter, but I've had it for less than 24 hours, and I appreciate you sending it over. I do appreciate that, but we just settled the ear tube. I haven't been able to focus on this. The concern I have is that I think we need to focus on this, and this may be 100% correct, but I would like to reach out and see personally the person who wrote this letter at Ag Markets and indicate, ask them, you know, where are you getting information? We took this, but as Councilman Fantastic said, we took the language directly from the model law that all of the other municipalities are using. So if there's a conflict, I think it's a big issue in the town of Morrow. I think it's an issue between Ag Markets and NYSERDA. And I think that's a concern. Well, no, because you're saying it's wrong in Ag Markets, and I'm saying that NYSERDA said it's okay. So now I have two competing agencies. Do you see the concern?
My thing is, one more comment, sort of, was that for the taxpayer, was that for the interest parties trying to get this to move along? This is why the workshop, we hold the workshops. I think we're going to come out of how we move forward on the terminator. So I think the council's request to, or suggestion to talk to them to get the rest of the story might be helpful. Because it sounds like we need to sort it out, right? And so to move this forward, we need to figure out what the discrepancies are.
We're going to get right on it, right?
Yes, council.
We've been working. That's how government works now.
Very slowly, and we'll look into things. We look into a lot of things. I just get frustrated
Just a quick question. So did I hear your councilman say that you requested this evaluation?
What's that? I did not. I was on all the information that we got from Maggie Market is also available online. Also, I emailed it to every person on this board. If you were ready, you would have saw what I'm talking about. So we are in conflict with Ag and Market.
Let's not turn this into a pressing issue. We spent hours digesting Ag and Markets. We tried to interwine Ag and Markets perspective into our existing draft law. So to imply that we just didn't look at Ag and Market, we have pages of Ag and Markets opinion on how to introduce solar into your local law. We took it into heavy consideration. So just so we're clear, we have looked at a lot of those documents as a group in meetings you were involved in.
Right, and so it's very clear.
Yeah.
I think it's very clear. I think they presented well in 302A. And I think it's 305.
Is it, I just want to make sure it's
yes.
Okay.
305A, and I think it's very clear in there what their intents are. And their intents are kind of what we have in there. That's all right now. That's my point. And I think we should clean it up, and I think it'd be a simple cleanup without going pressing this in further than one email.
This specifically speaks to tier two, and I don't think that we're at
right.
being clear. We can clear it tier two. The tier three is where I think we all know. We've got to disconnect though.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Any other comments?
I don't have any current time.
Not right now. I got some stuff on tier 30.
If I may, before we get into that.
Sure.
Is it the board's intent to follow? No farming protection plan. Is anybody averse to following that plan?
I'm not totally averse to it.
No, averse to it.
No,
opposed to it.
I'm not opposed to it in the sense of, well, maybe. I might be. Because I don't know verse by verse right now, and I don't have it in front of me all yet. I know it was written, probably done before solar, tier three solar was thought of. And I recognize the importance of keeping farmland farmland, but I also recognize the importance of farmers being able to diversify. And I think that solar is one of those clean energy diversifications that benefits the community in a whole. I don't know exactly what's in the plan. I do have a pretty good understanding that the idea behind it is protect the farmer. And anybody who wants to be a farmer should have that right to be a farmer. Sometimes the farmers need other ways to be able to make money. And if it's not in that plan, then I probably would not be able to follow that plan right now.
So my recommendation would be for anybody who has not yet had an opportunity to review the Farmland Protection Plan it's more than just protecting the farmland. It's about, you know, there's a whole section in there, farmland soil. There's a section in there on next generation. And specifically, if you go to the farmland soil section, page 9, I'm not going to get all the details, but it talks about the acreage of prime farmland soil, soils of statewide importance. Those characterizations were not pulled out of thin air. They were pulled out of our farmland protection plan. And I'll read the last sentence in that section. It says, the preservation of these soil types is an important part of any successful farmland protection program. The USDA soils maps located at the end of the section illustrates the location of the soils. And I think all the board members have received a copy of that. It's in our plan. I think, you know, if previous boards who had the foresight to call for the development and adoption after public input of these types of plans, you know, we as board members, that behooves us to take them seriously. And so I would encourage any board member who has not yet had an opportunity to read the plan to do so as we move forward with this discussion.
To share my perspective. Yeah. So I read it, and here's how I look at it. Lots of residents, taxpayers, and boards prior to us put an awful lot of time and energy into the farmland protection. Those people from notes like minutes I can read and have read and research were just as passionate about that topic as people are passionate about solar. So I'll just share with you that it weighs heavy on me to make sure I don't lose sight of others that feel strong about that. Right? That's the only comment.
Okay, good. Any other comments?
Yeah, I've got some stuff about this.
Can we close with tier two? Are we all comfortable asking council to reach out to action districts or action markets? And gather a little more information.
I will definitely do that. We've got the council who I've worked with before on that.
Because tier two is going to keep making sure that let's get something as action on that so we can move forward.
I have an honor to say.
Thank you. Cool.
As far as the first reader for the tour, I got to read it and we'll close out the tour on Tuesday. Tier 3 arrays in the language about not moving in the time of farmland. Now, the last workshop that we had, I brought up that I started the planning board, zoning board of appeals, all believe that the language as written in our draft is overly restrictive. Since then, we've had our public hearing, public discussion on this. And Mr. Kosar seems to think that it was, you know, everybody was very much in favor of keeping this language in there. I did some research this weekend, and I found just the opposite. For instance, a public hearing, let's see, 35 people spoke. 24 were in favor of removing this language, 14 against. The email sent to the board for public comment. There were 30 emails total. 28 emails for removal restrictions, two for keeping them in there. We also had online petition that was sent to the board. There was over 300 something signatures on that online petition. I went through because it was listed by zip codes. So I went through it and eliminated all the zip codes that weren't included in the town in the row. 123, 128, 3831. And taking out all the others, there were 169 signatures on that online petition in favor of removing this language from our draft law. There were 150 individually signed petitions from residents of the town in the row, all in favor of removing this language from our draft. We all agreed, I thought, last workshop that we had, that we were going to look at the whole picture, and the big thing was we were going to see what the public had to say about it. Well, it seems to me it's overwhelming the response from the public, the residents of the Commonwealth, that they would like to see this language removed from this draft. Why now all of a sudden there's a change? I don't know. That's for the rest of the board to give you their reasoning for now not, or not going by what the residents of the town have asked for. So I'm still looking to have that removed. I'd like the board to consider that.
If I may, Councilman, I'd like to address some of your points. As I indicated at the beginning of the workshop, I had an opportunity to read not once but twice the entire transcript and the documents that were provided as part of the testimony for the public hearing. And what I most care about are the individuals who reside, the farmers who work in the R5/Ag district. I put a higher premium on those that are directly impacted by any change in zoning to the district than I do from somebody who, say, lives in the village. There can never be a solar array placed next door to their house. They can't take away from the livelihood of an active agricultural district. And I too looked at the individuals who signed this online petition. And it was shocking to me, the number of individuals from outside of New York State, not even New York State, that were on there. And so it was clear that people just put it on there. Names don't mean anything. I listened to the testimony of those most impacted by a zoning change. In relation to the petition that was signed, Councilman, do you know it's illegal to use town resources to launch a campaign? Where did the petition come from? Where did the petition come from? Who wrote the petition? Who printed the petition?
Where did the petition come from?
Yes.
Did people sign it?
No, I don't sign it. Who drew up and printed the petition?
A concerned resident.
Nobody at town hall.
Concerned resident.
No, nobody at town hall.
A concerned resident.
So then somebody at town hall.
I don't think so.
So that actually, I have evidence that the petition, because I found the copies in the copier in my office, and I looked at the timestamp from when they were copied, and the only individual to enter the building, you, councilman, were here at that time.
Yeah.
So you printed it.
I printed out a copy. Sure.
You printed out more than one copy. There were several copies.
Well,
Council, is that is that against the law? To use town resources to further a campaign?
To use any town resources, whether it be phone or email or anything, to further local laws or site plan approvals or zoning approvals or anything that is not town business is not permitted under the town code and the town law.
So in I still have the floor, councilman. You have an opportunity. So in reviewing the testimony, which I place the greatest emphasis on, your facts are incorrect. If you look at those active farmers who reside in the ag district, who spoke on the proposed local law, a majority of those farmers opposed any solar in the ag district. And facts will indicate that. So, your facts do not, the information you provided does not support the facts that are included in the testimony.
Okay, yes, sir. The thing is that, and I certainly respect the opinions of the farmers on the ag district with some of these things being in place. But I don't think personally that two or three other landowners in a certain district should dictate what other people in that district do with their property. I'm a property rights advocate. These people who want to keep their farms going, want to continue farming and protect themselves, they're going to be dictated by the you got the thing that you just bought. I can almost guarantee that you've got here or something besides town business. I can almost guarantee. I don't know. Yeah.
So you have no evidence?
No, I don't.
But I do, so there's a little bit.
But I'll bet you that. Okay. The thing is, I print a lot of stuff at home. I print a lot of stuff at these. All the other stuff I print at home. If I can get in and make a few copies in this machine, I don't see where we're losing anything. I think it's a not trade off.
What do you think the taxpayers would have to say to that postal or that egg district if they knew you were using their resources for your thing?
Let's get on to the
pettiness and move on. So we don't have to follow along here, does it?
Oh my God.
This is a workshop.
Exactly.
What are the actual items that we got to come out here?
Well, my position is that I would, instead of wasting everyone's time, I would like to hear and receive information from Ag and Markets as they work through this process with NYSERDA in their efforts to protect the top four tiers.
I absolutely agree. I'd love to hear what they have to say about not specifically just on the top four tiers, but it sounds like they're going to get actively involved in NYSERDA, and it sounds like maybe that will help clean up some of the dispatch. Did we have any indication from the commissioner on how we thought timeline would be? He or she?
No, it was a brief conversation based on the memo that was a letter that was addressed to me. He was not aware of it, and so he talked specifically about that. And then, as an aside, he talked about what the agency is doing and what they can charge for.
What about we talked about the other layer of it. I'd like to look more into that as an alternative. Could we work with the zoning administrator and the attorney to see exactly what we need to do to get a good, clear view of what that might be and that might be an option? I don't know.
My opinion would be that would be premature.
Myself.
Is it
okay? I want to be premature to look into something like that. There's something.
Because it might be a little bit depending on what they say. Or if Ag and Markets determines that yes, municipalities should protect this particular classification of soil, and we have an overlay, as you said earlier, we'd be in violation of state regulations and law. So it would be a waste of effort. So I would rather wait, get direction from the state, and then we would look at overlays.
Just keep kicking the can out.
That's called good government,
Sure is.